the action nerd.
I'm coming to get you.
Get away from her, you bitch.
The action nerd.
You've just been erased.
This is my boot.
The name's Nukem, Duke Nukem, and now it's time for the Action Nerd. I love this guy.
So this is a continuation of the last episode where John, Charlie, and myself talk about the future of action movies and what we believe should be the future. I hope you enjoy the listen. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
He did.
Listen. Okay. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you said listen, so we're listening. John,
yeah.
Hit us.
Oh, okay. We're listening. So, there's so many people out there saying, like, who's going to take up the mantle of action heroes when Sylvester Stallone's gone around? What? Why? Jake Gyllenhaal could be an action star. Ryan Gosling could be an action star.
I'm behind Gosling right now. Absolutely.
Not everybody needs to look like Dolph Lundgren or Arnold Schwarzenegger in their prime to be an action hero. I've trained with many Navy SEALs in my life, and they don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone.
No,
they
you can't move.
No, yes.
Those movies were made for Arnold to be able to move like he is, but we have the Aaron Taylor Thomases. We still have Jason Statham out there going. We're getting newer guys, unknown, and that was action back in the day, man. Like, I hate when people forget that Charles Bronson is an action guy.
Action
Bruce
star.
Willis was an action guy. You know, Nicolas Cage was an action guy. We can handle these smaller dudes because what's happening is the guys that are big enough to be Arnold and stuff, they're fucking it up by letting Rock just go out here and do whatever the hell he wants.
Exactly.
And now he's turned into a
Charlie, we were saying it about Alan Ritchson and Reacher, like how he couldn't reach his wound in the one scene.
He can't move my arse.
Like,
but there's another actor that could easily jump right into, doing it. We just interviewed Shane Roberts from, he was in the Resident Evil movies. He was the main villain in
Sean
those.
Sean Roberts. Wesker.
I was talking to Shane and I had Sean in my mind, but he's jacked. And I was talking to him and I was like, you ever think about getting into action? He goes, I'm waiting for him to call me. He's like, I'm here. Give me some scripts. I'll read them. Yeah. I'll do it. You know, but they're out there.
See, though, man. There's some of them like Chad Michael Collins from Sniper.
Yeah.
If you guys have seen Sniper Grit, the dude is jacked. He looks like he can, you know, lift up a VW bug and start doing doing body presses with that thing just by himself. And then
Liam Hemsworth in the Expendables too. Like he's got that smaller frame, but he's
Land of Bad.
I
got to see Land of Bad because I was fortunate enough it played it. It's been playing in Panama City Beach on the big screen. So I was like, holy shit. So dude fucking puts his brother to shame in this movie.
Right.
Oh, nice.
They're out there. People just need to get off this. We need a clone of Arnold. We need a clone of Sly. You're never going to get those guys back.
The 80s were a different time. And if you didn't live during the 80s,
you're not going to get it. But guess what? You can still go put on an Arnold movie. You can still go put on a Sly movie. You can still experience everything we did back then now.
Exactly.
So we don't need them replaced. We just need to carry on the legacy.
I think some
got me on a soapbox tonight. What's going on, man?
No, this is perfectly fine. But no, like one thing I was going to say is, you know, we need an Arnold. We need a Sly. They're still getting roles. People are like, I want Sylvester Stallone. They go and get him. Or I want Arnold Schwarzenegger. I will go and get him. They're not looking at this new generation of action stars who have fucking worked with these guys. Look at Liam, like you said, Liam Hemsworth. He worked with Stallone in Expendables 2. We got half the goddamn cast for the Expendables 3. Some of them are still in good shape. And sadly, that movie wasn't the greatest, in my opinion. that's probably a reason why we don't see some of these actors anymore, is because they were in a movie that was supposed to shoot them up and it didn't do all that well. So like I forgot that Antonio Banderas was an action guy.
Yeah, Desperado himself, man.
Desperado and Assassins. And, you know, I was literally the other day with my kids and my ex, because I'm still on good terms with them, or with her. We were sitting down as a doing a small family thing, watching Indiana Jones 5, and Banderas pops up on the screen. Shit. Harrison Ford, for being, in his 80s, looks damn good. The dude is buff as hell, and I wouldn't want to, you know, meet up with him in a dark alley, kick my ass. And he's twice my age. And I'm like, my biggest concern is, you know, we got Scott Atkins, who's really well known to true action fans for being there. And what got him introduced to the world was John Wick 4 being in a Keanu movie. And now people are, it's like, I've heard interviews where he's like, yeah, people have been coming up to me saying, I saw that movie and I wanted to see more of your stuff, and you're fucking great. And
right, he's the hardest working man in action, period. Exactly. John and I have talked about that quite a bit, you know.
Well, him and Frank Grillo, who actually,
well, Frank Grillo too, but I still say Atkins.
Not, yeah.
He is
Atkins, man. He made what? Shit. He did, Skyline Warpath, went right into Columbia doing Diablo with Marcos Aurora. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
The man does not stop. Oh, he just had an anniversary with his wife. I think he took a couple of days.
He took a little bit, but he almost goes from project to project.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, are all the movies fantastic? No, but he's working and they still call him.
I will say this, his movies might not all be fantastic, but he is fantastic in them.
Oh, absolutely. Like, Hard Target 2 is not a good movie. I like Scott Adkins in it, but it's not a good movie whatsoever.
Max Cloud is not a good movie, but Scott Adkins is hilarious and great in it.
Yeah.
I will admit, I like Max Cloud. I knew what they were trying to do with that movie. That
I know exactly what they were trying to do, but,
you
know.
And I applaud him for doing it. I applaud him for
exactly.
doing
it. I, you know, I don't think it's a good movie, but I enjoy the movie for what it is because of Scott Adkins. And I would love to see, like, the Jake Gyllenhaals and the Ryan Gosling. The thing that's annoying the shit out of me is how Stallone right now is saying, oh, the guy who can replace me as Rambo is Ryan Gosling. I'm thinking, no, we need to get somebody a little younger than that so they can continue with the franchise if that's the way they want to do it.
Or we don't need any more Rambo movies. Right, we have them.
Yeah, we don't, need,
we don't need to carry it on. Let's make a new action hero. They did it with John Wick. Now, John Wick is a titan that's held up there.
We
can create new stories, new characters with new actors that can carry on just as Sly's John Rambo, Schwarzenegger's Terminator, all of this stuff. You can carry on without the names.
And had it with Adam Clay, the beekeeper. Why not have Jason Statham take Adam Clay, the character of Adam Clay.
Right. This is a perfect movie because it can be a standalone. We have no problem. It doesn't need to go anywhere else.
Or
we can get a franchise out of it, which I think they're working on the second one.
They are.
It made way too much money not to make a second one.
It's still playing in theaters.
It still is, man. It's insane.
I'm about to be crucified by you two. I'm like, okay, I got two of my buddies. I have not seen The Beekeeper.
Oh, you're missing. That's more on you than it is for us, man. Because
that is on me. Well, like I said, I got a job a month
right
ago,
now. So. We've all, you know, John and I talked about this. We did the live stream. That's the mark for January now. Like, movies now need to be better than The Beekeeper. That was in January.
I heard movie that was a great movie, and January and February are usually the movies, especially for action movies, where they just get dumped.
They dump it. Yeah, that's the dump months.
Yeah. They don't care.
Sometimes there's some really good diamonds in the rough that come out in January and February, stuff like that. Beekeeper's one of them.
Land of Bad. I can't talk.
I need to watch Land of Bad. I need to watch that one.
This movie came out of nowhere. It should have had a wider release. And we're talking about, like, new action stars. Milo Ventimiglia, he was in Rocky Balboa. He played his son.
Yeah, he was in Heroes and all that. Yeah.
is like the same size as me. And he had the most fuck yeah moments in Land of Bad. He had some moments where I was just like, fuck yeah. Like,
I need to watch it.
I gotta see that too. Yeah,
when you get the first opportunity, you got it. And Russell Crowe, he's Russell Crowe. And it's I thought Russell he was Crow. Just gonna Russell be like, Crow, oh, and cool. Russell, and I thought it was gonna be like, you know, name recognition, like he's gonna be in it for 5 minutes. No, he steals the every scene he's in. He's funny, he's Russell Crowe. I can't say enough good things about Land of Bad. I think I gave it a 4.5. I'm like,
you ranked it pretty high. I think you and Owen both kind of went
but
pretty high.
It's
on
phenomenal.
That. Yeah.
And like I said, we have Beekeeper, we had that one. Oh my god, like it's just it's only
forever. And there's more movies coming out this year that are supposed to be fairly big. I mean, we've got the new, you know, Mad Max movie, which is the Furiosa, obviously.
Yeah,
we got Godzilla, you know, X Kong, which is basically going to be a kaiju action movie. You know, if you've seen any of the trailers and stills, it's going to be a big year, but man, it started out good, flat out. I mean, it's a good time to be an action fan.
I haven't seen it, but from what I've heard on the reviews and hearing you recommend it, Charlie, Godzilla X Kong has a lot to live up to because we also live in a world where Godzilla minus zero.
Uncomparable. Uncomparable. Minus one.
Yeah, is minus one.
Quite possibly the greatest movie I've ever watched. That's saying a lot.
I have to see that because.
Listen. That's how we know the Academy Awards are biased, because Godzilla Minus One did not get nominated at least for Best International Picture. I have fucking no idea why. It only got nominated for visual effects.
Visual effects. Of course
it got nominated for visual. That's just their way of saying, here, we'll nominate it for visual effects. This movie was better than fucking Oppenheimer. And I love
Oppenheimer. I watched it I watched it minus color as well for the first time.
I did not. I didn't get it.
It's the most emotional movie I think I've ever watched. It wasn't just a monster movie. It was an experience. And, you know, it's
Godzilla
like, I don't,
badass,
yeah, yeah I don't give a shit about Oscar movies Godzilla. And crap like that. But when my wife and I left that theater, we left in silence all the way home because we were just taking that movie in.
Absolutely.
Like, I cannot wait for it to come out. Like, I'm so excited to watch it again.
Yep.
But no, see, my only issue I'm going to say with you watching that, Charlie, is then you turned around and watched HK.
That was not my doing, and I have to be on my own damn show. I've never missed an episode, so that means I have to.
Charlie, I'll give you this, because you are a sport, because I don't, if somebody was like, you need to watch this for the podcast, I'd be like,
We gave him the month, and it has blown up in our face because he's now taken it as a challenge of how much to fuck with us at least once or twice during the month.
Okay,
it was supposed show us what you love about other movies that isn't, you know, the stuff me and Nate always pick. And then he just took it as, I'm just gonna make him watch this.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's supposed to be like, here's a movie I think you should be. Now he's just fucking with you guys. It's like,
well, he did give us this year.
He did.
Honestly, he gave us three technically good movies. One of them just didn't work for me and Nate, which was like a Dark Water Japanese horror movie. Just didn't work for us. But Seventh Curse was fucking amazing. And it was Chow Yun-fat in it. And just this amazing.
I saw that. Yeah.
It's so awesome. And then Super Inframan from 1975, which is basically the precursor to Power Rangers. I love that one.
Exactly.
We had a ball with it, and that was, I told Pete this, I was like, that's what I wanted. That is a Pete movie, because that you have a connection to that. It's like, that's like my Masters of the Universe, you know, that episode that means something to you right there. So this ain't a big commercial for me here. So
I was going to say, if Pete hears this, I will say, dude, you should have recommended a movie that I thoroughly enjoy. It's an American movie that's in the form of tokusatsu itself, is Guyver to Dark Hero.
I have it. I've seen it. Like,
we would have been over the moon if he'd have gave us a Guyver movie, because
that's where the Guyver kick came from. It's like,
yeah. Exactly. I have the animes. I am so looking forward to the 4K Blu-ray combo set coming out in May. I am so looking forward to that. I actually introduced my girlfriend to Guyver on my 40th, or right around my 40th birthday, because she heard me talk about that. I am in negotiations right now with a certain book author about a book about two movies. He's just currently burnt out right now, and he would to try to be on this show. And I don't want to drop names, because if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I don't want to be like saying, but yeah, I,
you don't chum the water thinking, yet.
Yeah, it's, but yeah, it's, that would have been a movie I would have loved. If you guys do that, please, I would love to be part of that.
Because, yeah, we'll get you on. Yeah. I think just Pete knew that was going to be, obviously, we've seen the Guyver. You know, that's just one of those. He didn't, we would pick the Guyver any other time of year. And I don't think he wanted to waste one of his picks to do that. So, because he's right. I think
Guyver 2.
I would cover.
Guyver 2 Dark Hero is better than the first one.
I like the story of the first one better than the second one. The second one has the most amazing action and creature suits and, you know, everything.
Yeah.
The story's just not great in Guyver 2 Dark Hero. I love both of them.
That's true.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I actually have a story about Guyver 2 Dark Hero, because David Hayter, the voice of Solid Snake, was writing a little movie back in 1998-99 that was starting to be produced, just a small little movie called X-Men. He was writing that, and he was on writing and saw one of the stunt guys with a copy of Guyver 2 Dark Hero in his hand, and he goes, "What are you doing about with that movie? What are you doing with Guy?" He's like, "Oh," and the stunt guy goes, "You've heard of this movie? It's great. The fights are awesome. I'm going to show the fight coordinator this. I want to have our fights in X-Men to be like Guyver 2 Dark Hero. And I want it to be like that." "So how the hell did you hear about the movie?" "Look at the back of the video cover." "Dude, that's you. How the hell were you in this movie?" And that's actually in a book. I will, I'll pimp out the book. It's called Budget Biomorphs. It's kind of an oral history book about the making of Guyver and Guyver 2 Dark Hero. I've been slowly reading that. I got it on ebook from Kindle. And, you know, I will say when I was exposed to the Guyver was 24 years ago. I was a freshman in high school learning. A friend of mine and a buddy of his introduced me to Guyver. And I saw I actually remember seeing the original live action film with Mark Hamill before I saw the anime. And then when I moved from Germany back to the US, that's when I found out there was a Guyver 2 Dark Hero. And I did eventually see that. And realizing that more than just like four or five people have heard of Guyver, just I've gone through the moon or shot to the moon with that, knowing this. And we need. I'm going to get back onto we need younger action stars, because some of these movies, well, shit, look at Stallone. He broke his neck doing Expendables. We almost lost him because of the Expendables. We almost lost Stone Cold Steve Austin because of the Expendables.
We almost lost Schwarzenegger just to a heart condition. I mean,
exactly.
Wasn't even doing a movie. Just happened. Took him forever to come back. And that's how we got Last Stand. Was his first comeback.
Yeah, and my whole thing is we need the younger action heroes. My personal opinion, if we're going to go for younger action heroes, try shooting for right around the 30. They have to be like in their 30s so they can progressively, you know, okay, this is my first one. I need to get better and keep working on it. Because I love Jason Statham. I've been a fan of his since the original Transporter. When I saw that theatrically, when that came out. And I've been a fan of his, but the guy's in his 50s. I love Scott Atkins, and he's in his mid 40s. He's just a few years older than I am. And I'm like, he's actually said himself, in a few more years, he's not going to be able to do these action movies. And I'm like, look, like I said, Chad Michael Collins right now, he's my pick for the next big action star. But I'm like, he's also getting up there too. but he can do the action movies. They put forth the effort. I don't want to see a guy who's like, oh, I'm the pretty face on camera, but it's somebody else doing all the fights or willing to do that. But like, look at Swayze.
Just a number. Age is just a number, though. Right. But Statham's in The Beekeeper. He's never looked better, and he's in his 50s. It's just how you take care of yourself. It's how you train. It's how you know. And Stallone's in his 70s, and he's still going. There's no reason why Jason Statham can't do this for another 30 years.
Well, no, I just don't think they can do it on the.
I don't think they'll be able to act. They just won't be able to put in as much effort as they do.
No, he's not going to be doing The Beekeeper at 75, but he's still got a lot of years.
You can. I mean, to be fair, you know, like you said, even Stallone slowed down. I mean, Escape Plan. How much action does he actually do in the Escape Plan? Arnold got more action in that movie than he actually did in the first one. Well, and then the rest of them.
Younger, he was able to.
By how many, like 3 or 4 years younger, but you know, but they'll still be able to do it, and they can still teach the younger generation too, because it's going to fall on those guys. They now do need to be the ones that are teaching the younger ones and bringing them in. So we'll see how it happens. But as long as there's guys like us that ask for this stuff, and we're getting the word out for other people that we're not alone loving these action movies, that's going to fuel Hollywood to give us Beekeepers, to give us, you know, more action, you know, themed movies. Bring it back, you know.
Exactly. And like, just to go back to he was in Expendables 4, which again, you know, was maligned, but Jacob Scipio, who was also in Bad Boys for Life. I saw that movie, and the first fight scene he did in that movie, I was like, holy motherfucking shit, who's this guy? And then same thing in Expendables.
Exactly.
And then Some guy was coming at me, but like, oh, Jacob Scipio. I'm like, you don't know who? Like, and then I sent him the clip of him in Bad Boys for Life. He was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, these guys aren't known, but that doesn't mean they're not badasses. It's like, right. They just have to get their shot.
Look,
to become
Van Damme was unknown at some point. Everyone was unknown at some point.
Everybody was unknown at some point. Exactly. Thank you.
Just it's try like, to that, get it that, out there.
Yeah,
it's like my whole thing is with look for the unknown actors, because like we've been, well, like we just said, Van Damme was unknown, Stallone was unknown, Statham was unknown.
Yeah,
and they're some of the biggest names.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was unknown.
Yeah,
he was barely spoke like English.
Yeah, right?
You know, it's like.
He was the pumping iron dude.
He's the pumping iron dude that come in and played Hercules. I mean, that's
Hercules.
And then he played a cowboy not long afterwards. So, you know, it's just that man had a weird start to his career.
Well, that man also played a Russian, and he was a very Austrian sounding Russian in films. So
I love Red Heat. It was such a good movie.
Well, yeah, that was the movie I talked with last with Alex. So I actually invited you to be on that, but you're like, I got stuff to do. Both of you. I was like, I got to do something with Charlie. I got to do something with John. And I was glad.
I was with my daughter. I was like, I can't just be like, hey, we got to go home. Like,
if the Action Elite was happening this week, I would have 5 recordings this week. So I got you in. But we're Pete's going to Japan for a few weeks, so we're doubling up recordings. Oh, and then I had another guest spot later this week. So I got you in, bud. I'm here.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And, you know, I will say this. You guys have an outstanding invitation to be back on the show if you want. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I hope the fans, the listeners have enjoyed this. And it's like they got a little more with our, you know, State of Action Movie Union here.
That's what we do. If you ever check us out on the Action Elite, this is usually where the show goes at the end.
Charlie, we didn't mention Star Wars the whole time.
You just ruined it. Way to go, John.
Oh, no. I will say the one movie I would love to see right now is the new Kickboxer 3 with Scott Atkins. You know, I like Alain Moussey. I enjoy what he's done in that, but I am also, I would prefer Ninja 3 over Kickboxer 3.
I would prefer Ninja 3 over most movies. I love the Domination.
Yeah. Listen, with the kickboxer, I could do a whole show on the kickboxer.
Oh, it's Ninja 3, the Domination. Yeah.
Alan Moussi is another more guy. Of
Ninja 3 with Scott Atkins. That's what I would prefer to have. Is Ninja 3 with Scott Atkins.
No, I got what you're saying. But yeah, he's going to be, now he just got announced he's going to be in Kickboxer Armageddon with Alan Moussi. And like, as soon as they announced that, I was like, I want to see this movie yesterday. It's like, yeah, they haven't even filmed it yet. You know, but it's like, that's another thing. Alan Moussi, you know, he's another guy that has done movies and hasn't gotten a decent break, you know, in terms of, is he the best actor? I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like, that's not what we're talking. I mean, you got to carry a movie to, you know, besides the action standpoint. He's another one that can, like, you know, take up the mantle and do that stuff. There's just so many opportunities and so many options out there. People just got to let go of the old guard. I mean, they're there. They're still there. We love them. God knows I love them. For 45
they're not going anywhere.
Years, I've been connected.
No, they're not. Yeah.
But we got to progress. Yeah,
and when they pass away, God forbid, they'll be legends. I mean, it's just.
But if we don't progress, we get stagnant, and that's what's that's what's going to end up happening. Yes. If we don't,
it's not. In my opinion, it's not what's going to happen. It's what's happening because, you know, I think it was John Sight when I found out about Land. Or it was either John Sight or the Action Elite website where I found out about Land of Bat. Because nowhere else had I heard about it.
Nope. And it's a freaking shame because this movie should have had a wide release and it should have been shooting for number one the weekend it came out. But it probably played in half of the theaters that Mean Girls played in. It's like, you know.
Exactly. Right. I'm like, we need more mainstream action movies, in my opinion, instead of these remakes or these, oh, it's a remake, but we're going to do a musical twist because that's what I heard.
That was a giant middle finger to the Mean Girl fandom. Like, there's true fans of that movie that didn't know it was a musical till they went and saw it and were pissed.
Oh, is it a musical? I didn't
know. See, you didn't know.
I didn't even watch a trailer for it. I've seen nothing. I've seen no footage from the Mean Girls movie.
Look,
I've
seen the Mean Girls. It's a great movie. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that movie. But, you know, am I beating down the door to go watch a remake of it? No. You know, but
the original Mean Girls,
We're allowed to enjoy other movies that aren't action. Mean Girls is awesome. Yeah. It's a great movie.
Of my league. One of the funniest comedies ever. I love that.
Oh yeah. I love that movie. I will say I have not seen the original Mean Girls, but I've seen She's Out of My League. I loved She's Out of My League. That was absolutely hilarious.
I've seen that as many times as I've probably seen, you know.
Look, I'll tell you my absolute favorite, I guess, rom-com, romantic comedy, and I'm not embarrassed by it. And there's people that are going to laugh about it. I absolutely love The Devil Wears Prada. It's probably one of my favorite non-action, non-horror. It is a fantastic movie. I adore it to death. And I it's one of my non-action horror sci-fi, you know, comfort movies. I have it in my shop, and you can shop one day with me building cabinets and The Devil Wears Prada is going to be playing on my TV. Listen, and I don't care. I'll tell you to sit down, pull up a chair and enjoy.
Charlie, we're stereotyped because we do action. People think that's all we
want. Look like this with a beard and bald head and 6'5" and almost 300 pounds, but I love me some Devil Wears Prada.
Listen, I got daughters. I got an 8-year-old. I'm watching Snow Buddies, you know, talking dogs with my daughter. It's like
I got a 13-year-old.
Is action my first
it.
Love? Is it my main love? Yes, but I do watch other movies, people. Yep. I do
exactly. I will tell it. It's like Charlie revealed Devil Wears Prada. Me, a movie I absolutely fucking enjoy. It's also considered to be a Christmas movie. It is a rom-com. Love Actually.
Okay, I've seen that. Jackie made me watch it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. Love Actually. I enjoy that movie. Like, there's been times where, like, if it's on TV, I've stopped and watched it. Or, you know, with my kids, the original Cars, the first one, I will stop.
Oh, and we're talking that. Pixar. I will watch a Pixar movie. don't even mess around. The Incredibles is the greatest superhero movie ever made. That's all there is to it. But you know, it's I love other movies, but like John said, my passion is action.
Exactly.
It's, right. It's why we're passionate. It's why we turned this whole Roadhouse episode into an action talk.
I'm not going to put a She's Out of My League poster on my wall, but I mean,
I'll put a Devil's Wear Prada one out here on my wall if I can get one.
I need to put it, and then I was going to say, I need to find a frame for it, but one of my favorite movies of all time is a comedy. I do have the poster. Once I get a frame, I will have on my wall Super Troopers.
Oh, that's just a great movie. That's just comedy gold right there. That's the epitome of cult classic comedy right there.
Which I will admit that I introduced my girlfriend, because the story with me and my current girlfriend is I've known her for 23 years. We went to high school together. We were friends back then. We dated 11 years ago for a little bit. And recently we got back together, and give a little too much information out. I went to go see her down in Texas last August, and I was being a smartass to her, knowing it would torture her. I got nicely dressed. I have cowboy boots right next to me, nice button-up shirt, nice jeans. I got down on one knee with a silicone ring in my hand, proposed to her, and her smartass answer was eventually.
This explains the all my exes live in Texas thing earlier in the episode.
I'm going through a divorce right now, so you could take love and shove it up somebody's ass.
John's like, I don't give a shit.
He's like, fuck you, Shane. I don't want to hear about your love.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
I know, man.
World right now, it's action movies and my website, about my daughters, and then my action
movies. John, with that, you don't even have to say your daughters. We all know that takes priority over.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I didn't want to get hate mail. Be like,
For me, it's my kids, action movies, sci-fi movies, and then wrestling for me. Like right now, you guys can actually watch wrestling. I've been going to local independent wrestling. I've made friends with some of the local independent wrestlers. I finally went to a WWE show last month in January, and I had a blast.
Did you watch the Iron Claw?
Oh God, that was a sad one. I literally watched that. Like,
there's another movie that's not an action movie. I watched that just last week, and you know, in the state that I'm in, I was just, you know,
I'm not even in an emotional state like you guys, and I still haven't brought myself to watch it yet because I know
it's a hard movie to watch.
I know it's going to be difficult to watch.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing.
You would never say Zac Efron. Zac Efron is fucking jacked as shit in them.
I was just thinking Zac Efron, and something that made me laugh was knowing the history of the Iron Claw. That an executive producer of that movie is the wrestler MJF, who I absolutely enjoy. He does a cameo in the movie because originally he had a bigger part, but they cut it down to one scene. But John, since you've seen it, you know how when they're showing Zac Efron trying to reach out for a tag and there's a guy who's like big, muscular, and blonde hair? Yeah. That is MJF. That is the wrestler MJF. That was the executive, one of the executive producers of the movie. That guy has the charisma to be in movies. He is fucking 28 years old. And I'm like,
good Lord, he's that young.
Dude, he is that young. And he's now the former AEW world champ. He lost his belt right before New Year's to Samoa Joe. And I'm like, he is that young and he is that brilliantly talented. And I hope to hell to see him in more movies and do more stuff. I would love to see, now it's like, since John mentioned it, you know, Zac Efron and MJF in some sort of action movie.
Listen, but, and every time I say Zac Efron, they're like, oh, the guy from High School Musical. Yes, he did. Right. Yes, the fucker did.
Well, that's what I did. That's what I did till he did this one. Yeah, I mean.
But he shouldn't be like chastised because, like, you know.
No.
No.
Because
Heath Ledger did 10 Things I Hate About You, you know, and now he did what he did. But no, I even that kid that he's in that show, The Bear, like he got just as jacked with us, not quite Zac Efron's level, but and he's got some acting chops behind him. Like he's
He does. He's Shameless.
Yeah. So that's definitely some.
It's like we are. I'm thinking that if they want to look for a new generation of action stars, look at the TV actors we have right now. Like Cameron Monaghan, I believe he was the brother who played Ian on Shameless. And I know people are going to probably go, no, that's the wrong guy. Send me an email. actionnerdpodcast@gmail.com. Send that to me. Correct me. I would love to have a conversation with people, but we need to look at some of our TV actors and bump them up, because Jeremy Allen White, fucking fantastic job in The Iron Claw. They did a great job. And a couple of those actors I never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I am like, who the hell is this? I need to see this guy in another movie. And it was a great movie. Listen, and I know the history, being a wrestling fan, I know the history of the Von Erich family. And I'm going to spoil something. There was another brother. There was actually six kids in the Von Erich family.
Yeah, he died when he was five.
But in the movie, they only mentioned five of them. Because the number six, sadly, he died from suicide. And the director goes, we didn't want to put in and make it where people tried to kill themselves right there in the theater, because it's already a sad tale. And that's what the director said.
It's a sliver of the story, too, for people that don't know. Iron Claw movie is a sliver of the Von Erich story.
A very sliver of that family. Yes. I've listened to interviews with Kevin Von Erich and his sons discussing the movie. And Kevin flat out said there's parts of the movie he was in tears.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was there. He was one of the, on set.
Oh yeah.
You know, coordinator.
No,
type
actually,
things,
no,
you know,
he was there. Not.
Was
he
it was not? Not? Was they it one of the other ones?
No.
I thought none one of the Von Erich was on.
Nope. Not one. But they That's did true. Not know anything about this movie until it was done being filmed. Damn. Because somebody had asked them, hey, what about this movie about your family's history? And they were like, what movie? Because Kevin's sons had actually said to Chris Jericho on the Talk Is Jericho podcast, we didn't know about this movie until it was being shot and was in the can. We didn't know about it. They did not talk to us. But they did such a faithful job and such a respectful job to the Von Erich family and to wrestling as a whole.
See, that's what made me think someone had to have been involved that was part of the family. So that's kind of shocking to me. I used to watch wrestling. I used to be big into it back, during the Attitude Era and stuff like that. But
the off the top of my head, I can say the only people wrestling wise that were involved in that movie, MJF and Chavo Guerrero Jr. He's the one who taught the boys to do the wrestling. He actually did when in the preview, you see the scene where Zac Efron launches himself in the air to do the crossbody slam. Yeah. The guy catching him was Chavo Guerrero Jr.
I know they had legit training when it come to it. So that's
Chavo trained them. And you could tell they took it to heart. They did a fantastic job. I have not seen Godzilla Minus One. I love kaiju films, but right now, as of right now, out of the movies for 2024 that I have seen, The Iron Claw is my number one. It is not set in stone, but that is my number one. As of right now.
Well, you can play loose with the rules and just say Godzilla Minus One came out in 2023. So when you see it, it's the best.
It did. So did Iron Claw.
Because we talked about it at the end of.
Did it come out in 2023?
Yeah, because we talked about it at the end of your podcast, Charlie, on Owen's show. You know, the best of.
About Iron Claw? But
no,
he's
Godzilla
saying Iron
Minus
Claw.
One.
Yeah, I knew Minus One.
No, Iron
because...
Claw came out this year, I believe.
That's what I thought, that it came out this year.
I thought, let's see, it's like I'm pretty sure. I thought it came out like right at the end of last year.
Oh, but, I could be wrong. I just
have but to say as that. Of. But yeah, it's. Let's see.
It don't matter. They can, they can both be the greatest movies you've ever seen. I mean, that's just.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, December. It came out right before Christmas of last year. So,
okay.
But as of right okay. now, I
said barely of, made it in. Yeah, we're both
out
right.
Of movies that I was gonna say week. Out of movies that I have seen this year, out of the movies I've seen this year, Iron Claw is my number one favorite of the year so far.
You can do like, what's my best movie on? Together, or what we do our best action.
Movies.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can break it down by genre and everything. I'm just saying, when I saw Minus One, that wasn't just by the year. That's the best movie I have ever seen.
And how many times have you watched the Godzilla movie and cared about the human beings? It's like I can't tell you how many Godzilla movies there are. You're just like, where are the fucking monsters?
Watching that movie was the closest you could come to experiencing the people that watched it for the first time in 1954. That's See, the yes, level that movie man. Was. That's
a, yeah.
Especially because I watched it in black and white. So I'm lit because that's how they
yeah,
saw
it. I'm, you know? Yeah, I wish I would have seen it in the theaters. Of black
to see it that color. Way and to feel like the to experience it as it was the closest you'll ever get to being there in 1954. And that's a huge right. thing about that movie.
All right, so I do have one more last question for you, Charlie. Yep. If people want to find you, where can they find you on social media?
Well, you can find us over on Facebook. We have two Facebook groups, the Give Me Back My Action Movie Facebook group, the Give Me Back My Horror Movie Facebook group, because, you know, two big genres, we keep two big groups. We have two Instagram pages under the same thing, Give Me Back My Action and Give Me Back My Horror. We are both on TikTok. We are on X. We are on Threads. And our episodes do upload on YouTube. So if you like listening to podcasts through YouTube, I don't know why you do. I can't do it. But it's there. And you can find us on all the podcatchers, Spotify, Apple, you know, anything you want to use. We've been out long enough now. We're even on the ones I don't even know the name of half of the podcatchers that are out there anymore. But yeah, we're pretty easy to find, man.
And John, where do people, yes. if they want to find you, where can they find you?
Well, first and foremost, my site, actionflix.com. That's action-flix.com. And the hyphen's in there because Action Flix was taken at the time I created it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to fucking put a hyphen in there. And that's what I did. So that's my website. I've been doing it for about 9 years, pretty much as long as my daughter's been alive. Then I'm on, same thing, just like Charlie, I'm on Facebook, actionflix.com main page. X and Instagram, and I do the YouTube channel. The Action Fix podcast is my podcast for actionflix.com, so don't get too confused. The Action Fix was something I called one of my articles I would write about a favorite scene of mine from an action movie, so I just transformed that into the Action Fix podcast. And I don't have a set schedule right now. I'm just kind of like, you know, it's when I am able to do it, which right now I have a lot of time because of my shoulder yep. and shit.
But I yeah, got a lot of time that. It's like looking for work. I got a lot of time. That's why part of the reason why I got bored and watched a certain movie that you guys have been like, don't mention it anymore.
I'm just going to keep chastising you about it. And you can also yeah, find exactly. me and John both on YouTube on the Action Elite.
Yes.
The
yes.
Room
yeah.
Live Owen stream Trilla, that we do.
Great action. Yeah. He's the main man. He's been doing it longer. Christ. Like I've been doing it 9 years. He's been doing it over a decade. So
I think he's going on 12 will, years now, something like that.
Yeah, something yeah, like that.
Somewhere
Dude's
around there.
Been doing it for
I will say,
and
John,
he's like, and he's a great guy. Like I said, he reached out to me about 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm so glad that he did because I've had nothing but. And then you know, I got to meet Charlie, you know, through him, yep. J-Man. You know,
we got a nice little crew over there. So
John, yeah,
you know, I've been. Lucky enough to be on John's podcast. We did the retrospective of Brandon Lee's career.
We did. Yes, we did. Yep.
And you were kind enough to be on my Replacements Killers episode that I did last year.
Oh, that was an honor. Replacement.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was a great good movie. Charlie, I would love to be on your show, and if you guys can,
yep.
It's like eventually I'd love to be on the Action Elite one because I'm an action fan. I love it. Granted, it's like due to financial constraints right now, I'm not able to see certain things at the current moment. But
we
understand.
We cover old shit too, man.
I had to move out. I'm on my own now. It's like I am totally right there with you, dude. It's like I go to Redbox, $1.25 for movies now. That's how I see it. I am fortunate enough, I get screeners. Yeah. Like I guess I'm that famous enough where PR people give me screeners to watch their movies. So that
I will say I was on your website earlier today, John, looking at different things, and I just loved seeing your name on buy this. I was like, yes, that's my boy. That's my guy.
I'm the only one on there. It's a solo. I used to have collaborators, but I was just like, you know what? And it just got a little too overbearing.
It's hard to rely on people to stay consistent.
Yeah, so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to. Owen and I kind of sometimes go back and forth with our websites, but other than that, it got too encumbersome. So yeah, you're going to see my name on every single article that's on.
It's all good, because that's actually how I saw the picture we were talking about with Gyllenhaal being super jacked. I swear to God, that guy, like,
where he's got Connor, Connor's got him in a headlock from the back.
And
you just see Gyllenhaal's abs are just like, they're like climbing a ladder up to his throat.
Oh yeah, exactly.
It's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Or do you remember the first picture he did when they did the UFC weigh-in at the UFC something, number 200 and something? Like, and he was like, And he's just, I'm just like, it's...
Yeah, he did a good job getting jacked for that movie. I was kind of pissed to hear that it was only 185 pounds, and I was like, you son of a bitch.
Chicken and rice. But, chicken and rice.
If you get paid to get exactly fit, that's cheating. That's all there is to it.
That's cheating.
Plus, I'm sure he had the greatest trainer's money.
You had the best dietitians, the best trainer. Honestly, to do that to your body is hell. So,
and he's not going to be able to keep it up. Yep. I mean,
no, that's movie pretty. Like most guys that are ripped, they're ripped for that scene. They don't look like that when they go home at the end of the day.
I will say this. I love him as an actor. He does a great job. Jason Momoa has the right mentality. He gets jacked for a movie like Aquaman. And then he goes, I like beer. I'm going to have a beer. I'm done filming this movie. I'm going to have a beer.
Pictures of him on vacation, and he's like, and then
they did
that
to Vin Diesel, and that pissed me off.
Yeah, Vin
man.
Diesel or any of them, like, am I not allowed to, like,
let the man breathe? Jesus.
Yeah, not lift weights for one thing.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
not The Rock. We're not The Rock. We're doing. It's like,
Shane, if you're not careful, we're going to talk a whole nother hour. So I'm telling you right now.
Oh, no. The my final question here is there any movie you guys right now? Yeah, this is the final question, I swear. What movie are you guys looking forward to that is going to be coming out soon?
Furiosa.
Deadpool that one,
it's
Wolverine.
Got. I already know that's going to be fun. I like that one's not even a question in my mind. Like,
yeah,
I know
I'm looking forward, but I
think I'm looking forward more to Furiosa because of how much I loved Fury Road, and it blew me away that. I just that one has got me more excited than anything.
You know what I'm interested in, and this is for a totally different reason, and now we're going to get it earlier because they moved Ballerina another year because they had to go film more action scenes as The Crow.
Oh yeah, I know.
I just want to see listen, and we talked about The Crow on Owen's show, but I'm just curious. I just see what they do.
Again, another remake, as we were talking about. Jesus, how many remakes are we getting this year?
Did they need The Crow? No. But now that they made it, I got to see what they do with it. So,
well,
I will tell everybody this right now. It will not be the Brandon Lee movie. It's going to follow the comic more than it follows the Brandon Lee movie. So anyone going into it,
it's not Brandon Lee,
and it won't be Brandon Lee.
They got to do their own thing. If they try to emulate the Brandon Lee movie,
it will be The Crow. That there will be similarities, but it will not be the Brandon Lee.
Mm-hmm. The movie I am personally looking forward to actually comes out, I believe, this Friday. It is a sci-fi movie. I've been looking forward to it for years because the last one they ended was with Part One. and that is Dune. Dune Part 2.
It's getting rave reviews.
I haven't seen Dune. I'm sorry.
Like the people that have gone and seen it and gotten early access, it's getting rave reviews. So, when I have 6 to 7 hours to dedicate to it, I will sit down and watch one and
watch
two,
them both.
I haven't watched the first one yet.
I haven't either, Charlie. And it's not because I didn't want to.
It has nothing to do with that. I have time to commit to something. I haven't watched the newest Avatar movie. Okay. It's been on HBO for, I feel like, forever. And I'm like, I don't have time. I don't have time.
That is how I'm feeling with Oppenheimer. I want to see that movie, but I'm like, it's 3 hours.
I don't think I'll ever watch it again. I mean, it's a great movie.
I've heard that, John. I've heard a lot of people say it's the greatest movie ever. I will only watch it the one time.
I don't need to see it again. No.
Yeah.
Now, Godzilla Minus One, when that shit comes out on 4K, I'm watching it.
No. What is going to happen is we are going to discuss that fucking movie. We will, be it on my show, be it on your show, be it on Charlie's show, we have to talk about Godzilla Minus One.
I will talk. Listen, I was 5 years old on Saturday afternoons watching Godzilla movies on Channel.
I was waiting for John to say, I was at the theaters in Godzilla 1954. I was there, assholes. I'm giving you shit.
I don't want to say it, Charlie. I mean, every time I'm on that show and I'm like, what's your first experience with it, John? Yeah, I was there fucking.
It's fair for you to say that, though. We're just giving you a little bit of shit because you're
but
the
I
old
feel
guy.
Old. It's like,
yeah,
it's like,
you should.
Like, you saw Bloodsport on opening weekend? Yeah, I was there with my father and my dog. You guys didn't believe me. Like, who didn't believe me on this? And I was like, yeah, I did. I was. My father and my dog, my sister and my father and I. All went to see it on opening weekend.
Look, best I have is I saw Ghostbusters originally in the theater. That was my first movie I ever went to. It was Ghostbusters.
I tell you what, the one movie that I saw on opening weekend that changed my life was The Perfect Weapon, because the next day I went to my karate school and signed up for lessons, and I ended up teaching, and the rest is history.
We covered that one. I remember that story. It was a good story. Some good.
And I met Jeff Beekman. Jeff Beekman. Best person ever. Oh my god, he is
the movie that did it for me when I remember first seeing going to theaters was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I wish I
the
could
first one
the
I
and watch it.
I saw it in the movie theater.
I did too.
We couldn't afford to go to the movies as much as we wanted to. Plus, our theater wasn't local. It was an event to go to a movie. So,
oh, really? Were you super far away from them?
Oh, yeah. So the closest theater we had was this little tiny two screener in town, and it barely kept any of the new movies. And you would have to go, back then, probably an hour to go to the theater. So it had to be a family event to go. When new movies came out, that was the new movie. It came out on rental night, you know, one year later.
And I was blessed because not only did I have a movie theater, I had two across the street from each other. And I'm talking 8-10 theaters.
I would have lived at mine if it was that close.
I did. That was my first job.
I will. Another one that will probably shock you guys. I saw it opening weekend. Hot Shots.
You just saw Hot Shots?
I saw Hot Shots opening weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Both of them. Hot Shots Part 2. Now that's
I mean, come on.
Love them.
But all right, I am gonna stop the recording here. So
all right,
I hope the fans enjoy.
Oh, we're
this.
Still
this
recording.
Is,
I thought we ended a long time ago. Son of a bitch.
So, all right.
Good thing I.